الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقال أيضا: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama, elders, brothers, beloved students in Islam, inshallah, after the Jummah Salah there will be a nikah taking place. So inshallah, we thought discussing a few matters regarding nikah. And whenever your people hear this, hear the word nikah, the mouth starts watering already. They get so excited, you know, and make nikah still. So inshallah, some important aspects regarding nikah. If we look at the khutbah of nikah, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't discuss any matter regarding nikah itself. There are ayat of the Quran Sharif which mentions about nikah. Allah Ta'ala, even the word nikah is used in the Quran Sharif. And خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. We're getting married. There are these words found in the Quran Sharif. But if we study all three ayat of the Quran Sharif which are recited in the khutbah of nikah, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, every one of them has got the word taqwa in there. Ya, the fourth parah, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. Have the highest levels of taqwa. And Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say straight words. Be careful in your speech. So all the ayat of the Quran Sharif, where the nikah is mentioned, it refers to the quality of taqwa. Remember, nikah in Islam is a very, very great form of worship. It's a very great form of ibadat. It is not just a social gathering, a function which takes place, but it's a great form of worship and getting closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were many religions in the past who felt that if a man, his natural desires which Allah ta'ala has given him, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught, man, I've given you natural desires, and how you must fulfill the desires in a halal way, in a permissible way, by means of nikah. But there were certain people who felt that you must go actually against these natural desires and you must fight it and go against it. So they went against the nature of man and they call it rahbaniyat, monasticism, that we live without a woman. But that eventually led to many, many other evils and fitnas which open up when a person doesn't follow the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you find, وَلَقَدْ رَسَلَّا رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. Allah ta'ala said, we sent many anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam in the back. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, amongst them they had children, they had progeny, they had families. So this, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very natural system which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And Allah says about the monks, فَمَا رَعُوَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِيَا. They were not able to fulfill the right thereafter of not getting married. And they destroyed themselves many times, they destroyed other people's lives. So this is a very beautiful system which Allah ta'ala has created. So this nikah is a very great form of worship and ibadah. On the one hand, it is a kind of a transaction. Like how when you go to the shop to buy something, I'm buying something, I've accepted, I've given it. In nikah also there is acceptance and there is a proposal and acceptance, ijab and qabul. But however, in nikah, also one extra portion which is there is the example, the khutbah of nikah. It is done in the masjid. So it shows that while it is a muamala also, it is a transaction, together with this it has got the form of ibadat within it. And according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the ibadat in nikah is found to a greater extent than mu'amalat, than a business transaction. So really that's why in Sahib Hidayah also, in Study Hidayah, in the first section is mentioned the ibadat, the four forms of ibadat, and immediately in the second portion of Hidayah, Kitab al-Nikah starts, where he starts explaining, because nikah is very closely connected to a person's ibadat. And according to the Hanafi Mazhab also, to get married is better than a person engaging himself in nafal ibadat. One person, he wants to spend his whole life in a lot of wonderful ibadat, he doesn't want to get married. But according to Imam Wanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is better for a person to get married, because many, many great protection for a day, firstly for a person, and other forms of worship which a person can do. And sometimes a person gets children, ties children through the means of nikah.
And this can lead a person towards what and what high ranks because of his children, the ibadat and whatever they are doing in life. So really this is a very great form of worship. Understand this firstly. It is not just a social event which is taking place. So when you got a form of worship, then ibadat is supposed to be done in the way in which it was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like how we're performing salah. So it's not just I'm performing salah and I can do salah as I want to, but I have to perform salah in the way it was shown to me by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for it to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nikah also, it must be performed in the way which was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a person will get the most amount of barakat and blessings and goodness in this life also, in the hereafter also, by means of his nikah. So there are three aspects regarding nikah. As I mentioned, the focal point is taqwa. Taqwa means the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must take place before a person gets married, at the time of nikah also, and after a person gets married. So very briefly, inshallah, before a person gets married, what is the taqwa at that time? Is that a person must not go towards haram, towards evil things, towards immorality, boyfriend and girlfriend, meeting up with a girl, chatting with her on the phone, and having love marriages. One is a love marriage and one is an arranged marriage. And Allah Ta'ala has placed the barakat and blessings in arranged marriages. Logically, a person will think, if I'm staying with a woman, I'm living with her, I know how she is, then I'll get married to her after that. So then I'll have a very enjoyable life. Now I know exactly how this woman is. And arranged marriages, logically it seems, that it doesn't make sense. You don't know the girl from a bar of soap. Now suddenly you're getting married to her. And now suddenly you're going to live with her for the rest of your life. So it doesn't make sense logically. So ulama have given beautiful answers for this. They're logical answers to understand that even in arranged marriages, it's far, far superior than love marriages. So one thing they have mentioned, that Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, that وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةَ وَرَحْمَةً جَعَلَ. Allah is the one who creates between husband and wife love and mercy. So when Allah is the creator of it, so if we do the things according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically Allah will create love and muhabbat amongst us. But if when a person goes against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if Allah doesn't create love, remember Allah is the controller of hearts. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah says, I am the one who creates love between hearts. If you have to spend all the money in the world, مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, you can never join hearts. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah is the one who joins hearts. So first thing is that Allah is the joiner of hearts. So if we do the things according to the way Allah likes, then Allah will join the hearts of people. This is one thing which a person of iman will accept. But many people don't accept Quran Sharif. So logically you can explain to a person also that love marriages and arranged marriages, what's the difference? See, when a person is going out with a girl and he's got a connection with her, at that time he's only seeing the good in her. She's the most perfect woman in the world. She's got no weaknesses, no faults. So he starts off on a very high level. Now after 6 months he feels, this is the girl I want to get married to. And now he gets married to her, and now the first day he sees her, all the 6 months he was looking at her, all the time giving her flowers, she was always in her makeup, she was looking the most beautiful. Now the next morning you wake up next to her and you see who I'm sleeping next to. Now that makeup is gone, see, I made a mistake, this looks like a witch, I don't know who, maybe I married the wrong lady. So you started off on a very high level, now she has to go cooking, she has to be, sometimes she won't be so clean. So you started off on a high level, now you were expecting a four of Jannat, and now you're coming to a normal woman of this world. So that person is never ever happy in life. Compared to a person who gets arranged marriage, he doesn't know what it is to live with a woman. He's starting off with zero, no expectations. Now he gets married to her, he gets 50% also, he's very excited. So that marriage will continue building up on foundations, it'll become stronger and stronger. That's why even logically it may seem to us that a love marriage won't work out. I mean, if you work out, then arranged marriages won't work out. I remember when I was in school also, I had a debate with my teacher, and I was trying to prove that arranged marriage is much better. The teacher was saying that it doesn't make sense. That if you were love marriage, that you know exactly how the person is. That time I never know, but this, I read this once in the kitab, and Ali mentioned this point here. That this is, even logically, one is, as a Muslim, you believe that it's Allah's system, Allah will give that love between the husband and wife. But the second thing is that, you in an arranged marriage, you had no expectations, Allah will give you now, much more than what you expected. And the third point which the ulama mentioned also is that, when a person has a love marriage, most of the time the girl is going out to the boy, she isn't telling her parents, and the boy also is not telling his parents, and they have got love for one another, that man can never trust that woman. He knows that this woman, she cheated on her own parents, and that woman knows that my husband cheated on his parents, how can I trust him? So there is no trust between husband and wife. When there is no trust in a marriage, how can we expect goodness to come out of that marriage? So this is the first thing that Allah gave us tawfiq. Once Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he went to one masjid, and he put his donkey outside the masjid, And one person was walking past, so Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu gave him some, he told him, please look after my mule or my donkey. He went in the masjid, and after a while he came out, and he sees the reins of the animal has been stolen. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had 2 dirhams in his hand, and he wanted to give this man a hadiah, a gift, that you gave me, you looked after my animal. So anyhow, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu jumped onto his animal, he went to your home, and he told the servant, go to the marketplace, and I need some reins for my animal, you buy it. So he went to the marketplace, and he sees the reins of Ali radiallahu anhu which are stolen, somebody is selling it in the marketplace. So he goes to that person, he says, you've got this reins, where have you got it from? Say, one man came and sold it to me. How much he sold it to you for? 2 dirhams. So then he went back to Ali radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was supposed to have given it to him, the 2 dirhams, and he stole it. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, if he only waited a short while, he would have got the same thing back in the halal way. But unfortunately, he chose it in the haram way. So some of our ulama, the mashayikh mentioned, that whatever is written for a person, he will definitely get. But he's got a choice to take it in the halal way or in the haram way. So similarly, a person has got lust and desires in his life. He can either choose the halal way or the haram way. He doesn't get so much of desires will be fulfilled in his life. But if he's taken the haram way, then that amount of halal will be taken out from his life. He won't get the barakat and blessings in his life of goodness. If a person is looking at other women, so he won't get the enjoyment in his wife, because all the enjoyment he was supposed to have got in the halal way, he has taken it in the haram way. So he'll be depriving himself of the day. So this is the first thing, that before nikah also, when a person gets married, that we live a life of taqwa and piety, stay away from all haram, and do the things the correct way, the person will see so much of goodness in his life. Then taqwa at the time of marriage. A person must have taqwa at the time of marriage. What does this mean? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ عَظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرُهُ مَأُونَةً. That the nikah was the most amount of barakah and blessings, is the one in which there was the least amount of expenditure, difficulty, money being used, effort being used. Very, very simple, a person makes his nikah. And this was the actual habit of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the nikahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So extreme simplicity there was. The ulama mentioned that there are only 2 costs in the nikah. 2 charges, the 2 amounts a person has to pay. One is for the mihr, which the man has to give his wife. And Allah has made it so easy, if a person cannot afford immediately, he can delay it for some time. I'll pay later on. Mihr mu'ajjal, he hasn't got money at the time now. Then he can make it mu'ajjal. Mu'ajjal is immediately, mu'ajjal is later on. Person can delay it, pay off whenever it's possible for him. And the other, the cost is the walima. The walima also is something very, very simple. Where a person even gives a glass of milk, whatever food is cooked at home with the intention of walima is given out, and the walima is done. So simple. And they say Islam has made nikah so simple, because nikah is so important. As long as there is nikah, then zina becomes less. Fornication, adultery becomes less. And when nikah becomes difficult, then fornication becomes very easy. Like many times in the locations we hear of people, they cannot get married because the labola is very high. So many years they wait, they live together also, but they cannot, a halal thing, a permissible thing has become so difficult for a person. So when halal becomes difficult, then haram becomes easy. Whereas we encourage people to have nikah as simple as possible. So it becomes easy for every person also to perform his nikah in an easy way, in a simple way. And we have to give examples to the people so it doesn't become a burden upon them. Normally, like in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, we saw him. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu was one of the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 close sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I see some yellow on your clothing. At that time, when a person used to get married, the woman used to wear a certain type of itar, perfume. So some of them must have come onto his clothing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed it. So the Nabi of Allah asked Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, what happened? He said, I got married. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged him, gave him duas also, and he made make walima also. Walau bishatin, even though it's with a goat, something simple also you can make a walima. Nabi Sallallahu didn't get angry with him. He said, I am the Nabi of Allah, you never invited me for the nikah. I'm living right in Madinah Munawwara, you never tell me about your nikah. And become upset regarding that day. There's something simple. But Abu Buzruf, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, he said, in today's time, if you don't tell a person about the nikah, it becomes a big problem. And the whole family is going to break off, fight, so much of this hatred amongst people. Because I wasn't told about the nikah. Nobody informed me about it. Whereas nikah was something very, very simple. Hazrat Abdul Rahman, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, very close friends. So Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu wanted to get married. So he told his son Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, go to a certain house and propose for same thing, my proposal. So Hazrat Salman Farsi, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu went to the house and he said, my friend Salman wants to get married to your daughter. Will you accept the proposal? Can you come and see or whatever? So they said, no, you know what, we're not happy with Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu for certain reasons. But you don't mind you getting married to our daughter. So anyhow, he also wasn't married. So he said, no problem.
So simple, the nikah was performed. And now they were as husband and wife. A few days later, Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu meets Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. And he says, what happened about it? So now Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is feeling shy, embarrassed. What am I going to tell my friend? So he says that hey, something very bad happened. He said, the worst thing they could have said, no. He said, no, they didn't only say no, but they were happy with me. So they got me married to their daughter. So imagine that has to happen in today's time. Guns will come out. Person will kill, as one Morana was telling us, he was sitting for a nikah. Husband and wife were having problems. He said, I was sitting in between. And now they are trying to sort out the matter. Suddenly the husband pulled out a gun. He said, I got a shock of my life. He said, then even worse, the wife, she also pulled out her gun. And I was sitting in between there. He said, there's nikah problems to sort out. It's very, very difficult. So anyhow, but how much of love? Sahaba radiallahu anhu, look at the heart of Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. He said, I have to ask you for forgiveness. He said, what was written for you, I was trying to include in your tafdir. SubhanAllah, what heart they had, what pure heart. Always talk for the goodness of the Muslim brother. So as I'm mentioning, it was very, very simple. Medina Munawwara was a small place, but still 200 persons got married. Other people around didn't even know that a nikah had taken place. So simple nikah was. So this is, we have to bring this. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah says that many people like to spend a lot of money. They say, my daughter is getting married once in a life. Let me spend so much of money. Hazrat says, if you've got so much of money to spend, if you really want goodness for your daughter, he says, one day you have a big function. Nobody remembers it. People are only complaining. No one is happy after that. And there's no barakat in the nikah because you're spending so much of money. He says that take the same amount of money. For example, you say, R1 million I want to spend on my daughter's nikah. He says, take that R1 million and get 10 poor people married. Give each of them R100,000. Tell them start of your life. He says, how much of dua they'll make for you and for your family, this will take you through your whole life. He says, you want to use that money? So use that money. And you're making 10 other people's nikahs instead of wasting that money on the nikah of your daughter, and then that money goes to waste. There's no barakat and blessings in that nikah. Or he says, if you don't want to give the money to somebody else, take the same R1 million and buy one property for your daughter, and let her get the money and the rentals, the whatever money is coming there every month. So the money will come to her for the rest of her life. She's getting some income, she's getting some money, she's free to use the money as she wills and she wishes. How much of dua won't she make for her parents? Instead of that one day's nikah, where so much of money was wasted, there was extravagance. Our Buzurgan Adin, they were very particular about this. That they say from the boy side, there's walima, there's two expenses. One is the meher, and one is the walima. But they say there's no such thing as the girl side giving a dawat, hiring a hall, inviting people for the year. And all of this here, this is all customary. Maybe, perhaps it is from the side of the Hindus or the side of the Christians where the girl side gives a wedding feast. And many times we find, you know, when the wedding feast takes place, then no importance is given to the walima at all. The walima is secondary, it's not so important. The main thing is the wedding. Whereas in our deen we learned that the only feeling is the side of the walima. So whenever a bid'at comes, an innovation comes, or a custom comes, then eventually the sunnah is left out. The tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So really we should try to bring alive and encourage more the walima. And the walima also can be simple. Look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How simple his walima as well. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one walima, he got married, consummated the marriage. He asked the people, whoever got food, bring the food. They all sat down and ate the food. It was something simple. It wasn't something you have to have a big invite. Yes, for one wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got married to Zainab radiallahu anha, because the nikah was performed in the heaven, that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a big walima. They also, he invited the people to his house, 100 people were fed. But 10 people came in the house, then they went out. Another 10 people came in the house, they went out. There was no hiring of halls. And a big thing, the people came to the house and bari, they were fed in turn. And eventually they went out of the house. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Also another very important thing regarding nikah is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's three things a person mustn't delay in. One is when the time of salah comes in, he mustn't delay. One is when the boy and girl are ready for nikah, there mustn't be a delay in the nikah. And the third thing is when janazah is ready, then immediately the janazah must be performed. Here also the nikahs, many times it happens, a person delays for months and months. Whereas the sunnah tariqah was, that as soon as the match is found, immediately the nikah will take place. If the boy and girl cannot stay together, then there's also sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha was very small. She was only 6 years old. You never see that delay, we get married after she gets big. Immediately the nikah was performed. And then in the second year of Hijri, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started living with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha after 3 or 4 years later on. Hazrat, I think Umm Habiba radiallahu anha was in Abyssinia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent somebody else to go and perform the nikah in Abyssinia. He never even waited for her to come there. By proxy the nikah was done. Nikah was performed and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent someone to fetch Hazrat Umm Habiba radiallahu anha to come. One of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think it was Maimuna radiallahu anha if I'm not mistaken. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for Umrah. He was in Ihram already. He never said, after the Umrah, after the Hajj, I'll make my Umrah and Nikah. On the way, at the place called Sarif, the Nikah was performed. Obviously, in Ihram, a person cannot consummate the marriage. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Makkah Mukarramah, he performed his Umrah. He asked the people of Makkah Mukarramah, can we perform the Walima ceremony here? They refused him. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went back to Sarif, he consummated the marriage, he gave the Walima there. And she also passed away in the same place, and she's buried also there. All the other Azwaj and Mutahharat are buried in Baqi. But Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha is buried there in the place called Sarif. But what I'm trying to show is that how the nikahs were, immediately the nikah took place. There was no delay after that. Yes, sometimes rukhsatiya was delayed. But the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that as soon as the match is found, husband and wife must get together. And by not doing this, then after that dating starts. The man is speaking to the girl on the phone. Or sometimes even if a person has a bit of piety, but definitely the thoughts are in the heart of that person. He's sitting and fantasizing about her. She saw the husband now, 6 months later they must wait so long. Whereas this is not the Islamic system. Islamic system, you get married. The girl stays in her house, the boy stays in his house. If you cannot get married, to stay together at the present moment. But there is no delay. This was the normal practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for all his nikahs. And it was the qawli command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also not to delay in our nikahs. So this is the second point. And regarding the third point is after nikah also, a person has to have taqwa in his life. The most important thing is taqwa. Taqwa will keep that marriage very strong. It will bind the husband and wife together. And taqwa, different aspects of taqwa. One is in our house, a person has 5 times salah taking place. The husband reads obviously in the masjid. The woman folk reads a namaz at home. There is tilawat of Quran sharing taking place in the house. There is ta'alim taking place in the house. Then there will be barakat and blessings in that house. On the other hand, if the television is on all the time, then we cannot expect any goodness to come in that house. Allah's curses is in that house. The rahmat and mercy is taken away from that house. Shaitan inhabits that house. So then obviously there won't be love and barakat and blessings in that house. Shaitan's object is, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانُ يَنْزَقُ بَيْنَهُمْ. He tries to always cause fasad and trouble between husband and wife. So when all of the gunas and sins are taking place in our homes, then how can there be goodness in our homes? As Imam Rahmi Sadaam Barakatuh Mahani mentioned, he said if you want to make jadu, very strong jadu, what you must do, you must take Quran Sharif, something which is very, very pure. This is how people make jadu, and they take it and they put it in a very, very filthy place. Example in the toilet, na'udhu billah. And they make very strong jadu with that impure things were the pure things. So one army told him this year. So you see, this is how jadu is created. So this is what I was saying, that in a similar in our home, sometimes you've got Ayatul Kursi, and below the Ayatul Kursi, you've got the television set. So you've got the most purest of things, the Quran Sharif, and at the bottom, you've got the TV set. So now you create that haram is there and the most choreous thing is there. We are actually creating jadu in our own homes. And now when this happens and there's fight between husband and wife, there isn't happiness in the house, and the person says, I don't know why. There's so much of problem. Somebody is doing jadu upon us. Is that somebody else doing jadu? We are making jadu upon ourselves by all of this haram in the house. So one place I went, I saw one person, he had this Ayatul Kursi on top and the TV at the bottom. So I explained to him and I told him this year. The next time I went to his house, na'udhu billah, what he did was, he removed the Ayatul Kursi, but the TV is still in the house. So unfortunately, how the love of dunya is so much in our lives, that instead of removing the television from the house, he removed the Ayatul Kursi. So anyhow, we have taqwa in our homes. Two important things of taqwa is, one is a person has to learn how to control his anger. If a person doesn't learn to control his anger, there won't be any muhabbat in that house. Men and women, their thinking patterns are completely different. Their brains are wired differently also. So how men think and how women think, until qiyamah, there'll never be a... We can make a sulah and say that again, I worked out exactly how a woman's mind works. Her mind is completely different, the man's is different. Sometimes what a man regards is something insignificant, you can make a big story for her. But the main thing is for a man to learn how to control his anger. And this is something which we have been taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, one day one person came to his house. And this person, he had a problem with his wife. So he said, Umar will sort her out. When he comes to the house of Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, Umar radiallahu anhu's wife is shouting him. So he got a shock of his life. So he started going away. Umar radiallahu anhu saw him and called him. Why are you going away? He said, Umar, I got a problem. And I see you got the same problem at home. He said, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that your wife has got many, many rights over you, and you have to learn how to tolerate and overlook her. And you cannot become, your person will become angry, but he has to learn how to control the anger. So he said, what rights have the wife got over me? So Umar radiallahu anhu says, when you come back home, your wife, she cooks for you. What a meal she makes, how many hours she's jogging in the kitchen, she's giving you that food. So isn't that a right, a favor upon you? The children are in the house, it's your children, but how she looks after them, and she looks, cleans them, she baths them, she cares for them. Then when you come back to your house, in those times, she washes the clothing, she washes your clothing. In today's time, maybe she'll pack the clothing away, she'll sort out all the clothing, she'll give it to the worker in the house. then I've got certain desires, he fulfills the desires of mine, so I cannot go out towards any haram things. So all of these favors he's got upon me. So sometimes obviously she's living in a house, she's locked up in a house, she's kept in the house, so she loses her mind sometimes, she gets a bit frustrated. So I have to learn how to tolerate all of this when she gets upset with me. So the man said, I also got all of these rights. She said, there's so much for me also, I never thought about this. Yeah. So Allah give us tawfiq. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. If you dislike something in her, perhaps you dislike something, whereas Allah has put a lot of goodness and khair in her. She's got many, many good qualities. Look at the good qualities. Don't focus on the negative qualities, because the grass is always greener on the other side. But not always feels, hey, I got married somewhere else. My mother made a big mistake. She chose this girl for me. The glasses wasn't right. So the king said, she's wearing size 11 glasses. She never saw properly the kind of wife I got. As I said, make sure whatever wife Allah has given you, like a person is going on a train, a railway line, and he comes now at the station, and whatever tea he gets, he just brings the tea. He knows when I reach home, inshallah, I'll get a top cup of tea there. But now I'll just make sabr whatever tea I got. So whatever wife a person has got, a person must learn to make sabr with her. There's a lot of goodness and khair in her. But a person must learn how to control his anger. Doesn't mean you mustn't correct her if she is wrong. There are ways to correct her in a nice way. In a correct way, a person must correct her. But to become upset and even worse, to use violence, where a person utilizes his hands, and that's unfortunately we're getting cases. One of the things is the anger, and the other one is of lust. Where a person now is fulfilling his lust in other haram ways, whether he's on the cell phone, a person, a married person, but now he's sitting on the cell phone the whole night and he's watching 11, 12 o'clock at night. Wife is sleeping next to him, she wakes up, what are you doing? Oh, no, I'm just doing some work. When she takes up the phone thereafter, he's talking to some prostitute, na'udhu billah. Or he's talking to some other woman. This completely destroys the feelings of that wife for that husband. The woman says, I got no feelings thereafter for this person. What he has done to me, he's made me feel so dirty, so low. A man is walking with his wife and he's looking at another woman. This woman, how does he feel? That my husband, I'm standing next to him, I'm his wife, and he's looking at another man. Really, Allah has kept a lot of khair and goodness. If a person protects his eyes, all times, completely. And our Buzrugs mentioned, the more a person protects his eyes from haram, Allah will give him the enjoyment of the hurs of Jannah in this world. He will get that enjoyment from his wife in this world. But if a person doesn't control his eyes, he's looking on the TV, he's looking at that beautiful woman. She's an actress, she's just acting. And she's not in real life so beautiful also. She got all that makeup on her, and how she looks in her akhlaq and character. And now he's thinking, hey, this is the woman I want. And the person is going wild over her, and he's not happy with his own wife. Obviously, he won't be happy now. He's looking at a lie and a deception. And wherever a person looks at, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, always look at something below, you don't look at something above. And the way the TV is made, they're looking very, very beautiful, that woman is looking. You'll never be happy at home. If we can learn to look after our gazes on the streets, in our workplaces, on the television, in magazines, don't look at all of these things, on the cell phone. Inshallah, if a person keeps his eyes pure, he will see how much of enjoyment he will get in his married life. Allah will give him that muhabbat and love in the married life. So these are certain matters. And the woman folk also, she must have taqwa in her life. The system of Allah Ta'ala is that a man must work outside and the woman must remain within the houses in the confines of Shariat, following the commands of Allah Ta'ala. If there be barakat and blessings upon her, la'ana Allahu nazira wal manzur ilayhi. Allah curses the one who looks at other women, and the woman who presents herself to be looked at. She's weighing out the whole day working with other men. Other men are looking at her. Allah curses her upon her. How can they expect to be love and marriage in love and muhabbat in their family? So the system of Allah Ta'ala is, if we obey the commands of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will put barakat and blessings in our marriages. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, and understanding. As we mentioned in the beginning, that the main most important thing in nikah is taqwa. Taqwa before the marriage also, taqwa in the marriage also, at the time of nikah also, and taqwa after a person becomes married. When a person has got taqwa in his life, then he will see how Allah will make so much of goodness and khair come out in a person's life. يَجْعَلَّهُ مِنْ أَمْرِي يُسْرًا. Allah will make all of his matters very, very easy. Allah will give him a comfortable life, and Allah will put barakat and blessings in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.